Happy New Year, Journey. I hope you had a great opportunity over this holiday season to get some rest and to be with your family, to be with your friends. Part of the reason that we are online only today, it's an opportunity for us as staff and our volunteers who give so much throughout the year, an opportunity for them to be with their family and friends as well. One of the things I want to accomplish in this special message to you this morning is I want to help set an intention for you for this year. I know that as the calendar changes, oftentimes that's a time for us to start to think about what are we going to focus on in this new year? And I feel like that God has put some things on my own heart and some things on the heart for our whole church. And I want to ask you to join with me in setting that intention as well. On Christmas Eve, if you were with us, you know that we celebrated the reality that Jesus came as the light in the darkness. And one of the realities of that, one of the privileges of that, is as he came into our lives, as we became followers of him, that he actually asks us to be the light in the darkness for him. As we come into a relationship with him, he works in and through us to be light to the rest of the world. We are the actual means by which Jesus accomplishes his mission in the world. And it's a great privilege for us to be his hands and his feet and even his voice to the world around us. And this was Jesus' plan from the very beginning. When we go back to the very beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, when he was calling his first disciples, this is what Jesus said, Matthew 4:19. He said, "Come, follow me. Come follow me as an all-in follower. Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." Part of what it means for us to be an all-in follower of Jesus is that we join him in his mission. We get on mission with him. And that mission is to bring the light of his truth, the light of the good news of the gospel to every person on planet Earth. But I want you to understand that this isn't just something that we do, that Jesus asks us to do. It's something that we are. It is an identity for us. This is how Jesus describes it in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, "You are," this is your identity, "you are the light of the world. A town that is built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house." That's the heart of Jesus, that the light would go to everyone. He says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The light that came to us, the light that shines in us, is meant to shine the light on God and help people come to know him. The light of Jesus shines in and through us to the world. But let me just be honest with you for a second. This is what I know after years and years of being a pastor and talking about us being the light of the world. Not everyone is excited to be the light. Not everyone is excited about, let me just say the word, evangelism. Not everyone is excited about being an evangelist. And so sometimes even when we talk about, well, we'll just call it the E word so that you don't get freaked out about this message that's coming up. Immediately when we hear that, oftentimes there's defenses that go up, walls that go up in our life. Because maybe you've tried, maybe you've stepped out and tried to do the work of evangelism and you found it hard, you found it daunting, and maybe you've even found it awkward. And so you've kind of stepped away from that. And maybe even in some ways, there's even some guilt and shame because in your mind, you're thinking, I want people to know Jesus. I want people to find what I've found in him. But don't ask me to say anything. It scares me to death. I want someone else to do it. I'm probably just going to mess it up. It's just not my gift. We have all these excuses that come to our mind to think about why it is that we would not be a part of taking the light to the world. Well, here's my ask for the next several minutes. If your defenses have gone up in any way and you've been tempted to maybe turn off the television or close your computer screen or just turn your phone over, however you're watching this morning, I just want to ask you, take a deep breath and listen. I want us to listen to the Word of God, and specifically, I want us to listen to the Apostle Paul, because we're going to look at a chunk of Scripture from Colossians chapter 4, where Paul gives us perspective. He gives us perspective on what needs to be our thinking, but also what needs to be our approach as we think about becoming light in the darkness and sharing the good news of Jesus with other people around us. And my hope is that in this time, it would in some ways actually take the pressure off, that you wouldn't feel pressure, but you would feel a calling and an excitement about being a part of what God is doing in the world. But Paul's going to tell us three things that we need to know, three things that we need to know and understand if we are going to be light in the world. One is that we've got to get confident. Two, we've got to get clothed. And three, we've got to get curious. Let's start with the first one, get confident. And now when I say get confident, the first thing I want you to hear me say is, I'm not asking you to get confident in yourself. Because let me be honest with you, you don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes to change a person's heart. You don't have what it takes to change a person's life. It's not about confidence in you. It's about confidence in God and confidence in the power of the gospel to change a person's life. I'm not asking you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, to try to generate your own confidence from within and just get it all together. That's not what I'm asking you. The only thing I'm asking you is that you would take your eyes off of yourself and that you would put your eyes firmly on God and that you would have confidence in Him and you would have confidence that He is the one that is actually at work in the world. Because for us, sometimes we worry about if I step into talking with people about issues of faith, they're going to think that I'm one of those Bible thumpers. I think about as I was writing this sermon, I was thinking about years ago when we moved into the house that we live in now, there was a little neighbor boy that came across the street and he was just standing, he was super talkative and he was hanging out with me while I was working in the yard. And suddenly it just comes out of his mouth. My dad tells me that you're a Bible thumper. Are you a Bible thumper? And I just started laughing because I was just thinking to myself, to this point, I don't even think that I had shared anything related to my faith other than that I was a pastor. And trust me, when you tell people that you're a pastor, you're never going to sneak up on them. They always have their suspicions about you. But when you hear that, are you a Bible thumper? It starts to make me think about maybe I need to step back because I don't want people to think negatively about me. We can have a sense of a fear of failure. What if I say something wrong? What if I do something wrong? What if I turn people off? What if I experience people that are just actually kind of indifferent toward the things that matter so much to me? Or maybe there's just outright rejection of the things that I have to share. What if I step into those things and I just feel like I'm just not well enough equipped? See, we can really focus on ourselves and whether or not we are confident. But what we need to be is confident in God. And that's what Paul is going to tell us. Don't focus on you, focus on God. Here's how Paul expresses that in Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. That's how he's saying it. Put your eyes not on yourself, put your eyes on God. But then he says, this is how we would respond, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door. Not that you may open a door, but that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. We devote ourselves to prayer. We fix our eyes on God. And the thing that we pray over and over is that God, would you open a door? I'm going to say it again. God is the one, and He's the only one that can open a door. He's the only one that can open a heart. He's the only one that can open a life. And here's the reality, friends. God doesn't need you to accomplish His purposes. It's not about you having the knowledge and the skill and the communication or the personality. What you need is to experience His power. As He works in your life and through your life, we need to ask for a special anointing of the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's purposes in the world. We need to pray that we would be confident in God. Because here's what gives me hope in the evangelistic process is that when I read the scripture from cover to cover, who is it that God uses? Over and over, friends, he uses the weak and the humble for his purposes. People that are weak and humble and are dependent upon him. But although they're dependent on him, they're also available to him. They're allowing him to do his work through them. So if there was only one skill that I would ask you to have, it's to grow in your dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Devote yourself to prayer so that you have an actual confidence in God. It is way more important, friends, way more important for you to talk to God about sharing with people than sharing with people about God. You need to devote yourselves to prayer and be watchful and thankful and look for open doors. Because Jesus made it clear for us as he was teaching throughout the New Testament that it's only as God works in people's lives that their lives are changed. This is how Jesus said it in John chapter 6. He says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent them draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." God is at work. God is the one that is drawing people to himself. So what do? We pray. But Paul also says we pray, and then we're watchful. We pay attention. We start to look for ways to understand how is it that God is working in the lives of people. So here would be the question that I would ask for us is, can we see the open doors that God is providing around us? Do we see the opportunities around us that God is providing? Jesus wants us to learn to see the opportunity, because as Jesus was here on earth, that's what he saw. He over and over saw the opportunity in the hearts and the lives of people. This is how Matthew described it in Matthew chapter 9. It says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." See, Jesus saw the need deep within the heart of people. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus saw opportunity. Jesus saw open doors. And what Jesus said to do is that pray. Pray for workers. Pray that we would become workers that are actually able to see the harvest that is plentiful. Because the harvest, friends, is plentiful. But the ultimate question then is, how? How is it that I can actually see an open door in the life of another person? How is it that I see the opportunity that is before me? I'm going to get to the how in just a minute. So what I'm going to ask you to do just for a second is to put a pin in that question, because we're going to come back to it. Because there's something else that Paul says before he talks about the specifics of how that is even more important. What Paul says is that we've got to actually look at our inward life before we start to think about our outward life and how we engage with other people. We've got to think about not just how we do that, but we need to think about who we are. And what Paul talks about is the second point that I gave you, is that we need to get clothed. Colossians 4:5, this is what Paul says. He says, "Be wise. Be wise in the way that you act. Be wise in the way that you act, the way that you behave, the way that you respond toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity." Well, Paul wants us to understand that how we relate to people, how we act in our connections with them is ever more important than just the words that we express. It's not just the words that we express, it's how people actually experience our lives that will make us better evangelists or make us effective evangelists. We need to think about how we act toward outsiders, those that are outside of God's family. And when Paul wants us to understand how it is that we're supposed to act toward outsiders, just before this in Colossians chapter 3, he actually gives us some picture. He talks about what it means to be clothed in our life. What are the things that we need to be clothed with? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, this is what Paul says. He says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. He says, you are holy, you are set apart for my purposes, and you are dearly loved. My love and my grace is resting upon you. And because that's true, he says, this is what you should clothe your life with. When people look at you, these are the things that they should see. He says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Friends, it is the way that we act that will determine our effectiveness. When you engage with people, regardless of what you say, the biggest question is how? How did they experience you in that interaction? Would someone have an interaction with you and leave and say, even if they don't believe the things that you believe, would they say, that person had compassion? I really believe that they understood me. They understood me and they understood my story and they had empathy for me. Would they leave saying, that person radiated kindness? They were just incredibly nice to me in terms of how they engaged. Would they say, that person is humble? It seemed to me like they were valuing me and my opinions and my thoughts even more than they were valuing their own thoughts. They really wanted to know me. Would they describe you as gentle? Would there be a gentleness about you? Or would there be a pushy, brash, demanding, defensive? Or would they just say, that person is gentle? And would they describe you as patient? That you were really patient, that you were willing to listen to them and to understand them, not necessarily having an agenda for them, but even a thought in their mind that it just seems like they're in this with me for the long haul. They're patient with me in this interaction. See, friends, you can be smart, you can be articulate, you can be bold, and you can even win an argument, but you can be an incredibly ineffective light in the darkness when we don't behave the way that Jesus behaved. The message of Jesus needs to be shared with the character of Jesus. Clothe yourselves with the character of Jesus is what Paul is telling us. And now I want to get back to the how. I said, put a pin in that. How do we begin to learn to see open doors in people's lives? Here's what we need to understand about every person that is walking the earth right now. Every person is on a spiritual journey. They can't help it. Every person, because God has created us that way. We are created as spiritual beings. Some people are moving toward God in their life. Some people are moving away from God. Some people are pursuing gods in this world that aren't even gods at all, and they're just chasing the things of this world. Some people, frankly, are just stuck. They have desires to grow in their spiritual life, but they're just stuck and their wheels are spinning. Some people can be incredibly open at times, and some people can be incredibly closed. Some people are involved, engaged in their spiritual journey, and some people are just not at different times. What we know is that every person is unique. No two people are the same. No people's journeys are the same. Everyone is at a different place. But what we do know, friends, and I said it before and I'll say it again, is that God is at work. He wants to enter into people's lives. And this is the privilege that we get. We get to be his hands and his feet, and we get to enter into the spiritual journeys of people, to be a part of what God is doing in their life. But here's what can be challenging for us, friends, is that when we just look at the outside of a person's life, it's very difficult for us to always understand and discern what is happening on the inside of their life. And that's why the third thing needs to be true of us. We need to get curious. We need to get curious about what is happening underneath the hood in people's lives. And we need to enter into their lives. And what Paul is going to tell us is that we enter into a person's life through a conversation. We need to talk to people. Here's what Paul says as we continue this section in Colossians 4:6. He says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. He said, have a conversation. But that conversation, again, it needs to be marinated in grace with the love and the mercy and the kindness of God. And it needs to be seasoned with salt. We sprinkle salt on things to make it taste good. It needs to be palatable to people in a way that they can understand. We need to have those conversations. But here's the kind of conversation that I think we need to have. That conversation, the idea of a conversation, friends, it applies two-way. There's two people. It takes two people to have a conversation, is what I'm trying to say. There's talking and there's listening. But this is what I think is true of the best evangelists. People start those conversations about faith by being primarily listeners. They learn to ask good questions and they listen. Because it's our curiosity about trying to figure out where people are at in their spiritual journey that makes us wonder and ask questions about what's going on in their life. I mean, just think about it this way. If someone were to call you right now on the phone and tell you that I'm lost and I want to find my way somewhere, what would be the very first question that you would ask him? The very first question that you would ask them is, where are you? Because you can't give somebody directions somewhere if you don't know where they are. And if we want to be people that help people take their next steps in their spiritual journey, we've got to understand, where are they? And the only way that we can understand where people are at on their spiritual journey is by asking questions and listening. And love compels us to do that. God loves people. God cares about people. So we love and we care for people. And so we seek to discover and to learn and to understand where they're at and where they're going on their spiritual journey. And the best people, like I said, that are good about taking the good news of the light of the gospel to people are those that know how to ask good questions and genuinely listen. And now, to make this as practical as I can, I want to just give you some thoughts on the kinds of questions that you could ask. Now, I don't want you to think that there's these 200 or 300 questions that you've got to ask to get to the very depths of people's spiritual lives. I think there just needs to be like one question or two questions that you use to start a spiritual conversation that just pushes that first domino and moves you into talking about spiritual things. So let me just give you a thought or two on some questions that have been helpful for me in my life. And a way to maybe even lead into that would be to say something like this. My faith is something that has been incredibly important to me. And then follow that up with a question like, do you have any kind of church or religious background? Tell me about your spiritual background. Was that positive or was that negative for you? Where would you say you are now spiritually in your life? Do you feel like you're moving toward God, away from God, or staying about the same? If you have a belief in God, what do you think God is like? These are just very basic questions, but they're just a way to open the door. And here's what I would encourage you as people begin to share things is just continue to listen. And I think some of the three words that have been so helpful to me to continue to go to the next layer in understanding people's lives is to just say, tell me more. Tell me more about that. Help me understand that more. And ask another question. Just continue to invite them to share more about their lives. And here's a couple of cautions, maybe a couple of don'ts that I would want to give you if you step into a conversation like this. Don't feel compelled to try to inject your story into what you're asking them about. So many people do that as they see this little piece of common ground as someone's sharing their life story. They say, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. And then they start to talk about themselves. Don't. That is not humble and that is not compassionate. Step back. You don't need to inject your story. Listen to their story. Find out more about their story. And a second don't is, I would say, don't feel compelled to counter or correct anything that they say. As you're trying to explore someone's life and understand where they're at on their spiritual journey, they're going to probably say things that you don't believe. They're probably going to say things that actually run counter to the things that you believe. There's no way that they're going to believe exactly the same way that you do. Don't feel like you need to counter or correct them. Just listen. Just understand where they're coming from. Stay curious. And here's oftentimes what happens as we continue to invite people's life and their story. Oftentimes they will get to a place where they will say, well, I would love to hear more about how faith has impacted your life. Tell me a little bit about your story. You will get your opportunity. Trust me, you will get an opportunity to share, but you need to first listen. Stay curious. We've got to be curious. Okay, here's your assignment that I want to give you stepping in to this new year, 2024. And this assignment is really, really simple, but it's not easy. It's simple, but it's actually going to create a little bit of challenge in your life. The first thing I want you to do is to do what the Apostle Paul asked us to do, and that's pray. Pray for open doors. Who is it that is coming to your mind that God is giving you a curiosity about? Maybe it's people that you work with. Maybe it's people that live in your neighborhood. Maybe it's people that you go to school with. Maybe it's people that you recreate with throughout your life or have common interests with. There's all these different spheres of influence. But what I've been praying as you hear this message, that what the Holy Spirit would do is that He would actually bring the faces of people in your life to mind. People that you would have a curiosity about. And that you would grow in your confidence, not in your confidence in yourself, but in your confidence in God, and that maybe God is working right now in their life. And here's what I want to ask you to do, is to begin to invest with them. Ask a question. Spill your life into a spiritual question to find out where they're at on their spiritual journey. Just ask that question. Push that first domino. I just want you to think about having one conversation to start this year, and maybe another conversation after that, one at a time, but that this become part of who we are as being the light of the world and being Jesus's hands and feet, that we would learn really, really well how to ask questions and listen and understand where people are at on their spiritual journey. And two words I want you to think about as well, because I'm going to say this over and over throughout this year as well. We want to learn how to invest, and we want to learn how to invite. We want to invest time and energy into people's lives because they matter to God. Their stories matter to God. Their journey matters to God. And so they need to matter to us. It is worth the investment. We invest in the lives of people. We invest, but we also invite. We invite them to be a part of a spiritual journey with us. As we see that God is opening doors and that there's interest, we invite people to be a part of that with us. One of the easiest ways that you can do that is to invite people to be a part of a Sunday worship gathering with us at Journey. Invite people. The number one reason that people actually start attending church is simply one reason. Somebody asked them. Be that one that asks. Invest in the lives of people and invite. And here's one of the things that has been helpful for me, and especially maybe for people that don't actually gather with us, but you live out of town and you're part of our online audience, use technology to your advantages. One of the ways that you can invite people to be a part of what we're doing around here is just text them a link to one of our weekend gatherings. And even if someone is around here in Bozeman, sometimes people can have this fear of like, I don't know what I'm going to experience when I get there. There's this fear of the unknown. But when you text them a link, it gives them the opportunity to get to watch and see what we do around here so that there's not that fear. It helps them overcome that barrier. Invest and invite in the lives of people around you. Just as I was preparing this message, it was fun. I got a call from a friend of mine that during the winter, she lives in another part of the country. But where they're at in that other part of the country is they really invest in the lives of their neighbors. And just recently, she had the opportunity to invite a couple across the street. And I actually know who this couple is because when I visited, I've gotten to know them. And when she invited them, and they were excited to be a part of coming to church with them. And that hasn't even happened yet, but I'm excited to figure out and understand what happened. But I asked her, what do you think's happening inside of their lives? And she said, I don't know, but I can see that God is at work. Open doors. We invest and we invite. Journey, as we think about this next year, 2024, I want you to think about that empty chair, maybe that you see when you're with us on a Sunday. And that empty chair could be an opportunity for you to invite someone to start a spiritual journey toward the cross of Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, I am so thankful that we can be 100% confident that you are at work in the world. We can trust that you are stirring people's hearts and lives. And even though we can't see it, we have opportunity to be a part of what you're doing by asking questions and listening. I pray that you would give us confidence to trust you, to ask the questions and to listen, to be a part of what you're doing in the world so that we can be a light to the darkness. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen.